I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back to our transmission. And like always, we have some beautiful segments, inshallah, we'll be discussing. But before we do anything else, today I want to go straight to the quiz of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
It's quiz of the day. So come on then, let's see what's the question. The question is, how many verses are there in Suratul Qadr? How many verses, how many sentences, ayat are there in Suratul Qadr? Shall I give you a hint? Come on then, I'll give you a hint. This surah, this chapter, it's in the last spara of the Quran, the 30th spara. So somewhere in that last spara, you need to find Suratul Qadr, how many verses, how many ayat, how many sentences are there in Suratul Qadr. I think it's an easy question. What do you think, kids? Is it easy? And you're watching our broadcast of I Love Islam. And now, before I go to our first segment of the day, I want to introduce you to someone. Alhamdulillah, in this program, we have some little guests who join us. And today we've got a little, well, he's a little big than the other little guests that we normally have. So who is it? It's a regular one. You've seen this face before a few times. Let's quickly go and meet this young kid. Let's see who's joined us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
MashaAllah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala bless you. MashaAllah, we have Aban again who's joined us today. Alhamdulillah, we have some very important topics. We're going to talk about helping others.
Yeah.
Inshallah. And I will need your help. We're going to count later on, inshallah, when we get a chance. We're going to find out how many examples are there where we can help other people. Inshallah, we're going to be doing that. So I've just given you a heads up here. Yeah, so you can quickly plan things later on when we discuss the topic. When we hopefully when Nomar Raza will be here as well, inshallah, then we're going to try to see how many ways can we help other people. So we're going to count them, inshallah. I'll do the counting, you do the talking then. So I'm just giving you a heads up so you can start planning something now. So without any delay, let's go to our main segment of the day, My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
Welcome to our segment, My Islam. Alhamdulillah, in this segment, we get chance to learn so many beautiful things about our faith, about Islam. And Alhamdulillah, we try to select those topics that express the greatness and the beauty of Islam. And today, we have one such topic. Subhanallah. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Do you want to know what the topic is? I've already given you a hint. Okay, let's see. By the way, Aban, this topic is a title. Obviously, it's a title. The topic is a title, yeah? But it's a sentence. It's a four-word sentence. And I've given you a clue now already. Yeah? Let's see if you can actually, you know, say the sentence. Come on. Have a guess.
Is it about Ramadan?
No.
Is it an event about me?
I've given you a clue. You know, before the segment started, yes. But you need to say the full sentence. So it's got four words. So Okay. Say these words again that you just said.
Helping others.
Yeah, you got them two right. They're the first two. Now you got two more. You got first two right. Helping others. Well then, what else?
I was going to say helping others who need it, but...
Close. But you need to do it in two sentences, two words. Helping others who need it. That's the
yeah.
But it has the same meaning, but it's not them words.
Helping others make it.
One, I'll tell you the next one. The next one is in. Helping others in. Now the last one.
Helping others in need.
Close, but it starts with D.
Helping others in.
It has an F inside as well. D.
Helping others
I,
in Dean.
D I F F.
In diff. It's like in differ.
Close.
Different.
So how do you help people in differ?
Help people in.
It's got cult inside it as well.
Difficult.
Helping others in difficulties. Helping others in difficulties. So what you said earlier on, helping others in need. Those who need support, those who are worrying, those who are struggling, those who are in pain, those who are in difficulties. Helping others in difficulties. And this is such a beautiful topic. SubhanAllah, why is it a beautiful topic? Because whenever you get a chance to help someone, it brings peace to your heart. You feel so calm. You feel so content and happy because you've done something great. You've helped someone. Someone was in pain. You have removed the pain of that person. It's amazing. It's a beautiful topic. SubhanAllah. Today, inshallah, I will share with you some of the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that explain to us the importance and the greatness of helping others. SubhanAllah, what do you think? It's a nice topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Today, inshallah, I've got something really exciting to share with you. I'm going to read some hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in which we learn the importance of helping others. But before I share with them, let's see, you remember, you're representing the kids now. Yeah, those who are not here, those who are sitting in the comfort of their homes, you're representing all the kids at the moment. So can you tell me, generally, from kids' point of view, how good is helping others? What do you think?
It's good because people who are in need, example, old people, if they need to get through a door and they're coming, if not, you could just wait for them and hold the door open because they might have that stick that helps them walk.
And if you help the old person, you held the door, the elder person came inside, and how will that person feel?
The elder person must feel a lot.
For example, it's an old woman.
Yeah.
In the house, it could be your grandma, for example. Let's give an example of a grandma. Okay. So it's a grandma. She wants to, go to the next room, but she's too old to open the door because some doors are heavy, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's hard to push them. So you saw your grandma coming, and you quickly ran to open the door for your grandma. And you held the door, and your grandma holding the stick, she's going out. Yeah. How would she feel that my grandson opened the door?
She must feel that you're a good kid and also that you're well respected
yes.
to others.
So you will earn respect. Yeah. So when you help someone, the word I was looking for is you will win her heart.
I was thinking about you would warm her heart.
She'll be so happy for you. She'll be so excited that you've done something really good. Yeah. And she'll be proud of you. So helping someone, this is just one example, we just gave to you, Tao, that where if you help someone, especially your grandma, now she'll be over the moon. She'll be so excited and she'll be proud of you that you've done something excellent. SubhanAllah. Now let me tell you how important it is to help others in difficulties. What does Islam say? What does Islam say? You want to know? Come on then. Let me share with you a narration. It is reported on the authority of one of the companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. He is reported to have said that our beloved master the last and final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, there are some people Allah Azza wa Jal has created to cater for the need of others. There are some people, because I'm talking to the kids, so I'm going to say these words again. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said that there are some people Allah Almighty has created to cater for the needs of others. People approach them when they are in need. These are the very people who will be safe from the torment of Allah on the judgment day. Subhanallah, subhanallah. That's just amazing, isn't it? You know, if you're getting an opportunity to support someone, to help someone, Aban, because if you're getting a chance to help someone, and people come to you, so when someone is stuck, your friend, your brother, your sister, someone is stuck, like they've got a problem, and they come to you for help, why are they coming for you?
They must think that you're the one who's able to help them
yes.
in need.
So look at this from this hadith book. What do we learn? That there are some people Allah Ta'ala has created who cater for the needs of other people. That's their task. They're here to help other people. Yeah. That's their job. And subhanAllah, you know, what happens? People come to them. Who are these people? Other people who are stuck, they're in need, they're in difficulty. They will go to those people. They know that these people are going to help us out. They're going to rescue us. They're going to save us. They're going to find a way to get us out of this trouble.
Yeah.
And that is a blessing.
Yeah.
This is a blessing. And you know, if someone is like that, if you got that in your character, then you help other people. And people around you, they know you're helping, you've got a helping hand. Yeah, you love helping other people. You know, when you're stuck somewhere, and the first person you're going to call, who's that going to be? Say, for example, you fell. Yeah, you fell, you're in pain. Who's that first person you're going to call? And that first person, whoever it is a lucky person. Not because you're calling him, because that's a sign that that person, he loves helping. You know that person's going to come and support you. He's going to take you out from the trouble. He's going to call your parents. Yeah, to that, you know, you fell down, you're hurt. If they have any bandage or anything, you know, they'll wrap them around. If you're at school, for example, you know, you'll call out your teachers, you'll call out the safeguarding leads, you'll call the right people who will help you in that phase. So you know, you have confidence in them. Subhanallah, but look at the beauty in Islam that we learn that those people who help other people, Allah Ta'ala will protect them. They will be safe from the torment of Allah Ta'ala. They'll be safe from the punishment of Allah on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, when everyone will come back alive again and people will be scared, people will be worried. And at that time, these people who used to help others in the world, they will be calm. They'll be relaxed, inshallah, and they'll be protected from the difficulty. Subhanallah. So what do we learn from here? If you help someone in the dunya,
you'll be rewarded.
Then you'll be rewarded and you'll be helped on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah. That is a beautiful saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we've just heard. Now let me share with you another narration. MashaAllah, we've got another kid who's joined us in the studio. MashaAllah, he's our little guest. So today we got a full house, inshallah. We have them joined very soon, inshallah. But let me carry on sharing the narration with you. So our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, the person who removes difficulty and trouble from a mu'min, from a believer, Allah Almighty will create for him two such portions of nur, two different kinds of light, two forms of light on the bridge Sirat. On the bridge of Sirat. What is bridge of Sirat? I'm going to be discussing that shortly, inshallah. Okay. So whoever helps other person in difficulty, yeah, Allah Ta'ala will create for him two portions of light on the bridge Sirat, which will provide light to so many creatures that no one other than Allah Almighty knows their number. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Everyone, can you say Subhanallah? If someone helps anyone who's in difficulty, who's in problem, and you're helping a mu'min, a believer, someone who has iman, he's a Muslim, If you help someone, Allah Ta'ala will create two lights, two lamps, and they will be so bright that on the day of Qiyamah, people will have to cross the bridge of Sirat. Have you heard the word bridge of Sirat before?
No.
Yeah? Bridge of Sirat is a very delicate matter. On the day of Qiyamah, when the judgment will be taking place, accountability will take place, those doing good, those doing bad. After this, people will be told to cross this bridge. And this bridge is so long, it's really long, yeah, but it's also thin. It is mentioned in the Hadith Pak that it's thinner than a hair. Just imagine how thin a hair is.
Yeah.
It's thinner than the hair, and it's sharper than the sword. And people have to cross that bridge. And underneath the bridge, on the other side of the bridge, is paradise, is Jannah. So whoever wants to go to paradise, they need to cross this bridge of Sirat to go to paradise. And this bridge is so thin, thinner than the hair, and sharper than the sword. And underneath this is the hellfire. And people have to cross this. And first of all, how are people going to be able to see this bridge? It's so thin. I'm coming to it. So hold on. So I will come back to you. So it's so thin. How will people be able to see that? They'll be scared. They'll be feared. Yeah. But those people who Allah Ta'ala will shower His mercy, yeah, Allah Ta'ala will shower His bounty upon, and Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for them. They will be able, they will have confidence. They'll have the courage, and they'll be able to cross this very easily. And this is one sign that we learn. The one way that Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for the people to cross the bridge of Sirat is that those people who help others in the difficulty, that Allah Ta'ala will create two lights, two lamps on the day of Qiyamah. Now when people are going to cross this bridge, when they'll cross this bridge, the people will be able to recognize the path. So they'll be safe and protected. So again, what do we learn? And how many people will be able to benefit from this light? So many creatures. How many of them? Allah knows. That means so many of them.
Millions.
We can't count. Even a million is a number, it's a limit. We can't count. So many. Subhanallah. So why will those people get rewarded? It's because someone in the dunya who used to remove difficulties and problems of other people. Subhanallah. Look at the beauty of helping other people. So far we've understood that helping someone in the dunya will provide light for you on the day of Qiyamah, will be a protection for you on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah. This shows the greatness and the significance of being kind to other people. Subhanallah. Inshallah, we're going to carry on discussing the topic of helping others. So let me share with you another beautiful saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. How important it is to help other people. Our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, whoever fulfills his Muslim brother's need, it is as if he worshipped Allah throughout his life. Just imagine someone who worshipped Allah Ta'ala throughout his life. Imagine the reward and blessings that will be showered upon that person. And someone who fulfills the Muslim brother's need. So there was a Muslim brother who was stuck, who needed help. And if you came to help that person, look at the reward and blessings. You will get so many rewards, so many blessings, as if you've been worshipping throughout your life. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is the beauty and excellence of helping other people. Alhamdulillah, in the studio, we have been joined by Mr. Little Guest. How are you, Ali?
I'm fine.
MashaAllah. And Ali, MashaAllah, he's been here in our program before as well. Let's see if he actually remembers how many times he's been here in the I Love Islam program. Let's test his memory first. Can you test his memory? What do you think?
Yeah.
Come on then, let's test his memory. Can you remember how many times you came here?
Five times.
Five times? Wow. MashaAllah, well done. Today's your fifth one. Is it fifth today? Today's number five, yeah? MashaAllah. Now, inshallah, we're gonna have some fun, inshallah. And Ali's going to help us as well. Because today we've got a beautiful topic. The topic is helping others. Helping other people in difficulty. So I've just shared with you some of the importance of helping other people. And this shows the greatness of Islam. Imagine how lucky we are that we are Muslims. And Islam has encouraged us to help other people. Helping your Muslim brother. It's a great honor. It's a blessing. Yeah. Now we're going to be discussing some examples of how you can help someone. And one example where we were discussing early on, I think some kids are probably joined now. Should we discuss that same example again?
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell the kids again that example of elder, like your grandma helping you? How could you help your grandma?
Should I tell the moral first?
Yeah, no, tell. Yeah, explain that again.
Help somebody in difficulty. So, example, you could help your grandma by opening the door, and this could make her feel well respected of you, and also she can become warmer and more happier for you.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And how could you help your grandma though? What could you do?
Opening the door, you could also, if not, she's not feeling well, you could make her a drink or something that will warm her up.
Yeah.
You can do good in school, which will make her happier. And
how you being good in school help you make your grandma happier?
She'll think that you're respecting all your teachers in school and that you're getting good grades.
You're focused with the education.
Yeah. And getting good grades.
Now, MashaAllah, you give some really good examples. I want to carry on the topic of helping your grandma. Okay? But now I want to turn to Ali. Ali, what do you think? Well, how could kids help their grandma? What could they do?
I don't know.
Like, say, how could you help your mom and dad at home? What could you do to help them?
If they're sick, then you could. I don't know.
You know, when food is cooked, you could bring it from the kitchen and put it on the table.
Okay.
I'm sure you could pick a fruit, you know, plate, can't you?
Yeah.
Or is that too hard for you? Is that too heavy for you?
No, that's too easy.
It's too easy that. So you can do that. You can get a glass of water or empty glasses. You can put them on the table. They can bring the jug, yeah, so the water doesn't spill. So you can bring food. And what about once you had iftari, you had all that beautiful food, you've broken the fast, you had the food, and
you could say thank you.
How could you help? How could you help your mum after this?
You could say thank you.
She could say thank you. Saying thank you to someone is also a form of help. Mm. But you're appreciating their help. That's their help, isn't it? They've helped you with the food.
Yeah.
They made food for you. They made some delicious food for you. And then you can say thank you to them. That's a nice way. That's a good gesture. Yeah, but here I'm talking about how could you help them. So, we're going to carry on with the food. I think, you know, Ali loves his food. What's the favorite meal that you've had so far in iftari time?
In iftari time?
Iftari time.
You don't eat a meal in iftari, you just eat like samosa and that stuff.
Mmm. Samosa and what else? What? So do you like the samosa then?
Yeah.
Mmm. What shape is samosa? Is it
triangle?
Square?
Triangle.
Is it triangle? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Samosa is a triangle. And is it a small triangle or is it a big triangle?
It's a small one.
Are you sure? If you eat small triangles, small samosas, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to say now? What does it mean? What am I going to say? Let's see if you can guess.
I don't know.
If you're eating, if at home you normally eat small samosa, what does that mean? What am I going to say? Come on. I'm sure you'll know this.
No, I don't.
You don't know? That means you are now confirmed baby Ali.
No.
You're not. You just told me you eat baby samosa. Baby samosa for baby Ali.
No.
Big samosa for big Ali. That's fair, isn't it? That is fair. Now today, I think we've made it. It's been clear now. It's been confirmed. Are you confused? You're still confused that you're baby or your baba? Come on, everyone. Can someone please help us? It's nearly, you know, fifth time now Ali's been here. We are still confused. We don't know, should we call him Baby Ali and Baba Ali? Because sometimes when he speaks so wonderful, we think he's Baba. He's so wise, so intelligent. And sometimes the way he behaves, then we think he's Baby. But he's got a little smile though, Masha. He did smile. We saw that he's trying to hide his smile today. Can you please smile? Okay, I want a bigger smile. Bit more bigger than this. Mashallah. Masha, he's got a beautiful smile. Does anyone know the dua of you see someone smiling?
I know.
Do you know the dua?
I know that it's a sunnah though.
It's a sunnah to smile.
Okay.
It's sunnah to smile, and there's a beautiful dua as well. Then in English you can say, may Allah keep you smiling. May Allah keep you smiling. So if you see someone smiling in your family, your friends, do dua for them. May Allah keep you smiling. In Arabic, Adhakallahu sinnak. Can you say it? Let's practice a few times and then I want you to read this. Remember, Ali didn't know this dua now. I'm going to teach you the dua and I want you to read it to the program. It's easy dua. Are you up for it? Are you up for the challenge? Come on, say yes.
Yes.
Come on. I want you to look at the camera first. Say, I love Ramadan.
I love Ramadan.
No, I want that same energy. Come on.
I love Ramadan.
MashaAllah. Ali is back now. SubhanAllah. So let's quickly teach him the short dua. And then he's going to be, he's going to move on, inshallah. He's going to be excited, inshallah. He will sort him out. So, Adhakallahu.
Adhakallahu.
Say, all of you. Adhakallahu.
Adhakallahu.
It's dod, okay? Not ba. It's ad, dod. Adhakallahu.
Adhakallahu.
Good. You say now.
Adhakallahu.
MashaAllah. Well done. Adhakallahu.
Adhakallahu.
You need to say it loud.
Adhakallahu.
Adhakallahu. Kaf. Not qaf. Kaf. Adhakallahu.
Adhakallahu.
Sinnak.
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 Adhakallahu.
Adhakallahu.
Sinnak.
Sinnak.
Yeah? Come on, you want to try it?
Adhakallahu sinnak.
Will you try it?
Adhakallahu sinnak.
MashaAllah, beautiful dua. Very easy to learn. And both of you have learnt it already. It's easy, isn't it? Now, look at this now. He's learnt it so quick. That means he's not a baby anymore. So he has qualified to be a Baba.
No, I'm Ali.
He's Ali.
Yeah.
Before we carry on, MashaAllah, today's question is about Suratul Qadr. How many verses are there? How many ayat are there in Suratul Qadr? Maybe sometime you're baby and sometime you're Baba.
No, I'm Ali.
You're Ali. Mr. Just Ali.
No, I'm Ali.
Ali, okay. Ali, how are you, Ali?
I'm fine.
MashaAllah. Ali is fine. May Allah bless him. MashaAllah. Ali is a beautiful boy. MashaAllah. Today we tried to bring smile on his face and we tried a little. Yeah. What's the dua when you see a smiling person?
Adhakallahu sinnak.
MashaAllah. He's already learnt a dua as well. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala bless him. And today we're talking about Suratul Qadr. You know Suratul Qadr, don't you?
Yeah.
So maybe later on we might listen to you as well, okay?
Okay.
Inshallah. So, by the way, someone else has just joined us in the studio as well. Should we quickly go and meet him as well before we move on with our topic? Come on then. Let's see who's joined us. Oh, we got a regular face here. MashaAllah. It's Nomar Raza. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. Welcome, Nomar Raza. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. I'm doing very, very good this time.
Why are you doing very good? Because you got your full team here today to rescue you.
Yeah.
MashaAllah. Come on then. Let's do our challenge. Guys, we were doing a challenge, weren't we, early on?
Yeah.
We're talking about helping others in difficulties. Okay? So I've shared with you some of the reports, some of the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that explain to us how important it is for a Muslim to help someone else. Before I do the challenge, I want to share with you another narration. Another hadith park, in fact two narrations, then inshallah we'll do the challenge, okay? So listen to this hadith park. Our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, a mu'min, so who is a believer, someone is a Muslim, a mu'min for another mu'min is like a building. Are you paying attention here?
Yes. Yeah,
a mu'min for another mu'min is like a building, some portion of which supports the other. Okay, so a mu'min for another mu'min is like a building. What happens in a building? How does a building stand? Stands on pillars. Yeah, he has bricks, he has roofs, he has pillars. Yeah, so all these different things, they support each other, don't they?
Yes.
If you take one part off, what happens?
It falls down.
The building will collapse. Yeah. So mu'min is like a building for another believer. So Muslim supports other people. When we see anyone who's stuck, who's in trouble, mu'min comes to help him. The believer, the Muslim is a person who's always there, ready to help. Subhanallah. This is a beautiful understanding of the importance of helping someone. Now let me share with you another beautiful hadith pak of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the example of a mu'min's mercy, the example of a Muslim's mercy, love and kindness to relatives is like a body. Where one of its part gets hurt, the whole body is feverish and restless. Allahu Akbar. So what do we understand from here? Muslims are all together. They're united. They're like one body. If one part of the body gets hurt, when one Muslim in any corner of the world feels pain, and another Muslim who's in a different side of the world, they find out that a Muslim is going through trouble, then the Muslim feels the pain as well. Like the way in a body. So for example, in the body, someone's got a headache. Yeah, someone's got a really severe headache. What happens? The whole body feels the pain. The whole body is not performing properly because they feel the pain. If your eye gets hurt, then your whole body feels the pain. If your toe is hurting, you can't walk properly. Even then, your whole body feels the pain. Likewise, if a Muslim, a believer, is in pain, they're struggling, then a Muslim also feels the pain as well. We should feel the pain. So we should feel, for example, if someone fell and broke the elbow. Yeah. Now that person is in proper pain, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now if we saw someone in pain, yeah, we should feel that pain as well.
And we should help.
You say, Allahu Akbar, what's happened? Oh no. No, you should feel that pain. And if you're not feeling pain, unfortunately, I'm going to say this now. Unfortunately, some of us are so evil. Yeah? When we see someone in pain, we get happy. Oh, he fell down. What's this? That's not the way of Islam. Islam tells us to be nice. Show kindness to other people. If someone is in pain, you should express pain as well. You should make them feel that, you know, you're with them. Don't worry, I'm with you, I'm going to help you. You don't need to worry. You know, just when you give that support to someone, it means a mountain for them. They'll be so excited. Like half of their pain will just remove.
Yeah.
Because you know, you're there to help them. So Islam teaches us to be kind. Now, I'm going to turn to the kids. Should we go in turns or should we do... We'll go in turns first, okay?
Yeah.
You start with Aban, Nu'man, then Ali. We're going to go in turns. And I want you to give me one example of where we can help someone. Okay.
Stop.
Yeah, you're going to be starting, then Norman first and Ali next. So the reason I've told you the order, so you can start thinking first. Okay, don't, when it's your turn, I don't want you to think then. Okay, start thinking now. So you don't say it, when it's your turn, then you can say it then. Okay, so give one example of how we can help someone or how someone can help another person. Come on then.
Holding the door open.
Holding the door open for elderly people,
yeah.
Example. MashaAllah, that's a good way to help someone.
Feeding
poor and needy people, giving food to them, mashallah.
Feeding poor and needy people. That's what I said.
You just said that? How can you help one in school? What if your friend falls down?
Then you could just go to the teacher, tell the teacher will help.
Yeah, so if one of your friend falls down, go quickly and tell the teacher, mashallah. We're on three now.
Alright, You know, going back to the elderly people,
yes.
If they need to get their shoes off the...
help them take the shoes off,
Yeah.
So helping your elderly family member, especially, helping them to take their shoes off is beautiful.
Yes.
You should feel honored. You know, some people think, oh, shoes? Why should I touch that person's shoes? Oh, shoes are dirty. What do you mean? You too, why don't you not touch your own shoes? You touch your own dirty socks as well, don't you? Yeah. Look, we take our own socks, we take our shoes off. Yeah. So if you can help your mom, your dad, your grandparents to take their shoes off, it's a beautiful thing. It's a kind gesture. Remember, look, for those people, I think it's something small. It's not when someone's in pain, an elderly person, they can't reach down to put the shoes on. They have back pain sometimes, they have knee pain, they struggle. And if you can help them, you should feel honored. You should feel honored. It's a beautiful thing to help someone, to help them to put their shoes on or to take their shoes off. So we don't fall now. I think the mom went on holiday there.
He made me forget one.
I made you forget?
No, him.
Yeah, blame me.
Yeah, blame you and them and him. What was mine again?
Five, four.
So is when in school, when the teacher needs like help, you can put your hand up and help the teacher. For example, if you
put the desks, chairs.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one way. What else? What about our home?
Helping the parents. Helping your parents and put the socks in the laundry.
Ah, put the socks in the laundry. Wow, well done. MashaAllah. Ali, I hope you do that as well at home.
What is that?
Come on then, we're on five. Should I be six?
Three, yeah. No,
yeah.
I'm going to be the sixth one. That's because it goes three, four, five. Mm-hmm. Now this is the sixth one.
Okay. I'm still confused.
No.
No.
It's the sixth.
It's sixth one.
No.
No.
One.
No. No.
One, two, three. One,
four.
Two, three. The sixth. We're on the seventh one now. Come on then. I lost the count. Ali, you're getting to me now.
When
you're making me forget.
If your parents are sick, you should give them medication to get better.
Giving medicine, you know, obviously, you know, you don't put that in the mouth, you don't,
not
you
have like,
kids here. So what you could do, you could bring that pack of medicine, you know, what you have at home, and bring that, you know, ask the elderly person to take it off from the cupboard, and then they can pass it to you, and you can help them to give it to your mum. Especially, you can give a glass of water to them as well, in the tablets, yeah? So, mashallah, that's good. Well done.
You could,
by the way, I'm thinking of something, and you've not said it.
Oh.
I can't believe it. It's so easy as well.
Food packs.
MashaAllah, that's a good thing to way to help other people, especially those who don't have much food. Yeah, so giving them is good. But that's not what I'm thinking. Come on, Oman. Ali?
Help your parents with giving them a glass of water.
Glass of water. Okay. What about making tea for them?
Yeah. I don't know how to make tea.
I can't.
Well, you can tell someone else to make tea.
I can make tea.
Look, that's a good idea. That's important. I don't know how to make tea. Well, you could tell someone else in the house, can you please make tea for my mom? You can do that, can't you?
Okay.
Okay, he'll do it. Okay, then that's nine.
So, is this one you could give somebody who is in need of something, like a pair of shoes or some new clothes, you could gift it to somebody to help them?
Yeah, giving someone a gift, especially, you know someone from your family, friends, who generally is struggling. You know, someone might not have, for example, they don't have a trousers, like a new trouser, you know that person, you want to give them a gift. It could be on a birthday, on Eid, for example. But then kids need to speak to their parents and get the parents to buy it for them.
Not just go to the shops and steal
it. It's important, not stealing. Don't help people in stealing. Come on. We don't tend, come on.
So when there's like a really big event, for example, like Eid, and like there's like probably 15 people at your house, and you have like four tables full of food, and they all finish it, and there's so much plates and cups and like dishes there, so you can help them clean it up.
Helping with what? Say in one sentence, helping with what?
Helping your mom or your sisters
with
putting the dishes away.
Yeah, washing the dishes or
cleaning them.
After they've washed them, you could put it in them trays.
Yeah.
MashaAllah, that's good. Yeah. Number 11?
Yeah.
Come on then, Ali. If you can't think of anything, I'm going to count down. Five. Don't put your hand on the mic number. It's going to make that squeaky sound. Then. Five. Four. Three.
Give a glass of milk to your parents.
MashaAllah. Last time he gave a glass of water. Now he's giving a glass of milk. MashaAllah. Well done.
Helping somebody by giving them food. I know, like,
we're just going around in circles.
Helping your mum make food.
I think I've said that.
Do you know when you have a family event and people are sitting on the sofa and there's you should let the elderly person sit on the sofa and you should sit on the floor?
Is that helping someone?
Yeah, because if they sat on the floor, they would go.
If someone's sitting on the floor, then you tell them to sit up.
Yeah.
Why would they be sitting on the floor first?
Because they might
because
not
you were not moving from your sofa? Okay, I'll give you that one. There's one I'm thinking of, one thing that we should be doing, that's one way of helping someone. Helping at home. Helping at home or in madrasa as well. Masjid.
Also, it's Islamic. Reading Quran, like helping them memorize the Quran.
That's exactly. Someone who's struggling to recite the Quran, you're helping them to learn the Quran. That's beautiful. If you could teach someone how to read the Quran, that's one of the best things that you could do. Subhanallah. That's really good.
Is it class?
That's not what I'm thinking of.
Is it class?
Come on.
It's cool. Giving juice to your parents. Giving a glass of juice to your parents.
Giving a glass of food.
Living.
No, a juice.
Glass of juice. MashaAllah. We've got some. It's going to be special iftari today. We're going to have water. We're going to have milk. We're going to have juice. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala. So at least Ali has woken the beast now. They all woke up now. They're all excited now. Before they were all tired.
Now I'm excited.
They were drowsy. Now you turned them. You made them active now.
Now we're
Ali,
just
you
excited.
You made the day for us now. MashaAllah. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So we talk about helping others. One way you can help someone. You've not said it. Anyone can say it now. I want you to guess what I'm thinking. There's loads of ways to help people. But one
how am I supposed to read your mind?
Maybe you could be a mind reader.
You should just guess. You could be
maybe
the
you
answer.
Could go to school and say, I want to be a mind reader. Can you teach me how to be a mind reader?
Okay.
At least we managed to get a smile on his face today. MashaAllah. So, have a guess. It's something you can do at home. I'm giving you clues. Something you could do at home.
It
doesn't have to be every day. Well,
which letter does it start with?
Which letter does it start with? C.
K.
Yeah, K.
K or
yeah, like not eating cake, okay?
No, like cake.
You can help. Ali can help his elder brother by eating his cake.
Can he help his elder brother with this C? Can he help his elder brother with this C?
Yeah. It's the sounds K. You can help your mum and dad, sometime in your madrasa, masjid.
Combing hair.
How do you help someone combing hair in masjid?
Come on.
No, man.
Is it to do with like food?
No.
Is it giving
food? It could be linked to after the food, after someone's ate.
Cleaning the plate.
Oh, that was close.
Kitchen.
Cleaning the dishes.
That's what I said.
Cleaning everything.
That's what I said.
You're close. It is this type of like what you said, but I was referring to certain thing you should be cleaning.
The kitchen.
Cleaning kitchen.
No.
Cleaning the house. Why?
But how would what's different? What which things you can
cleaning
do?
The room. Cleaning yourself when you're dirty.
No, but you're gonna help someone else, not you.
Cleaning your face.
Cleaning your face.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea. MashaAllah, I think someone should do that every day.
What's a hooper?
Go on then.
Hooper.
Say?
Cleaning.
Vacuum cleaning.
Cleaning the floor.
Hoovering the floor.
Oh.
Cleaning the carpet. Is that not help?
That does because if it's dirty, you can get it all over your feet.
If you make the mess, you do the cleanup. That's a deal for Ali.
Yeah.
Ali, that's a live deal. If you make the mess, You do the clean. No, then don't make the mess.
Okay.
Don't make the mess and don't do the clean.
And we'll phone
you. Okay, Ali's deal now. Ali's got a live deal today.
We'll
live
phone offer. Your parents
don't do the mess. Still help out the clean. Yes, he's agreed. Why are you not agreeing? Why are you not agreeing to cleaning up?
Because I do not like it.
Why?
So you don't like cleaning
up?
It's boring.
It's boring. It's exciting.
No,
I think you should try out today. When you go home today, I think you should try it.
At least you get to get off your phones.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi sallam. Alhamdulillah, we've been having some fun with the kids. But at the same time, all of you, please make sure you remember the important lesson. That we need to help other people in difficulty. Okay? You can help someone, just give a hand when someone doesn't need help. That's good as well. Yeah, you know, it's class called teamwork. You're helping each other. But especially when someone's in difficulty, someone's in pain, someone's struggling. And look, if you got that mindset, I want to help other people, you'll find ways. There'll be so many opportunities for you to help other people. They will just come to you. Because if you start focusing on something, then so many different ways of how you can help other people, they just come to you. Different ideas will just pop in your mind. Oh yeah, he needs help. This person needs help. That person needs help. They'll come to you. And obviously, if it's an elder person who needs help, you need to let your elders know, tell your parents that you care or know, they can help you, help elderly people as well. So obviously, not everything kids can do. Is that fair, innit?
No.
Kids can't pick a big lock.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Yeah. No.
So.
Yeah.
Can they pick a big lock?
Yeah.
If they work out.
If they do work out.
Yeah. I do.
Okay, then we'll have to do a live challenge one day. Then we'll bring some big stones here, big rocks.
Big rocks.
Mountains.
No.
Everyone has a limit. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Everyone has a limit of strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some things are too much for you, too hard for you.
No.
But you know though, someone needs help.
So you should try at least.
For example, you saw someone crossing the road.
Yeah.
You can see an old man who wants to cross the road, but you're a kid yourself. Now, it's a busy road. Now, if you want to help someone else, but you don't know how to cross the road yourself.
So then no point of you doing it.
You know what's going to happen. You're going to put him on the road, put yourself on the road, and both are you going to get crushed?
No,
or helping someone.
You just
helped him to get in more pain. Yeah. Like those things where you know someone needs a help, but you can't do it yourself. You need to reach out, ask someone else for assistance. Ask like an elder person, your mom, your brother, your dad, someone else, and they can play a role. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You'll get a reward because you're the one
who
gave the idea of helping that other person. So please keep that in mind. You have to keep our eye out for this. Yeah, sometimes the people in your neighborhood, there are people in your neighborhood who need help. Yeah, they could be shopping, could be anything. If you feel someone needs help, then because you're a kid, other people, your neighbors are adults, you need to speak to let your elders know, let your mom and dad know, let your grandparents know. Then inshallah, if it's possible, they'll be able to go and help. So please keep that in mind, inshallah. So today we learned a very important lesson of helping other people. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to protect each other. I'm going to share with you quickly a few important narrations about helping others. That highlighted something really nice. Are you ready to hear this? Have you seen the mirror? Have you seen the mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you see in the mirror?
Yourself.
Yourself. Did you see Ali there?
Yeah.
Did you see Ali in the mirror?
Yeah.
Tell me, was he a baby or Baba?
It was Ali.
Okay, then.
Ali,
let me tell you about a mirror. Okay. Our beloved Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, a Muslim, the word used is mu'min, so I'm making it easy for the kids. A Muslim, a believer. A believer is like a mirror for another believer. A believer
is like a mirror for another believer.
Let me continue this. Let me finish this first. A mu'min is a brother of another mu'min. Subhanallah. This is the beauty of Islam. A mu'min, a believer, is a brother of another mu'min. Okay, we are brothers. We are brothers in Islam. Whoever he meets his brother, he protects him from harm and safeguards him in his absence. So this is the quality of a mu'min? So alhamdulillah, we are mu'min, we are believers. What's the quality, what's the greatness of a believer? What quality should a believer have? Okay, one, a mu'min is like a mirror for another mu'min. A mu'min is a brother of another mu'min. So what does that mean? That whenever the mu'min, whenever the believer, he meets his brother, whenever he meets another brother, what does he do? He protects him. If someone is going through trouble, is struggling, he needs help, then what does he do? He becomes a shield. He protects him from harm and safeguards him in his absence. So example, one of your is a Muslim brother, he left his belongings here. He's gone. He forgot. He left things here. He's gone. Now, he left them here. If you remember that, this book, for example, is Blessing of Ramadan. Someone left it here. So what should you do? You need to protect this. This belongs to that brother.
Yeah.
So you protect it. Why? What do you mean by protecting this book?
Like you don't let it get ripped or anything.
Yeah. So no one tones this. No one gets this. No one spills any water on this. Or no one else takes this away.
Because it's not yours.
Someone can take it. Some people are book stealers. Yeah. So some people take the books. Yeah. No, they found a nice book, they take it. Yeah. So you protect that thing for another believer. Yeah, this is a nice thing. This is a quality of a Muslim. So protecting someone from harm, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam has mentioned the excellence of helping someone in difficulty. Subhanallah. Now, that's it. Now we're going to move on to our next segment now. Are you guys ready for next segment?
Yeah.
Ali, are you ready?
Yeah. Which segment did we just do?
We've just done My Islam.
I know what's next.
What's the next segment? Does anyone know?
Islam. Did you know?
It's Did You Know?
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Welcome to our segment, Did You Know? Okay, boys, now I think it's a hard question for you. That's my guess without even asking.
What
you
did
question.
I know?
Yeah, not what you did know. Did you know what we're going to talk about
in
this segment? In this segment, we alhamdulillah share with you some exciting facts about Islam. And today is something that people, they can do in Ramadan, but normally they do it the day after Ramadan. Most people, a lot of people do it on the day after Ramadan, and it can be known later as well. What is that thing? That is something that kids have to guess.
Eat. Can you do it after Ramadan?
Well, what did I say? You can do it in Ramadan as well. Maybe Ali can do Eid in Ramadan as well.
No. Roza.
Roza?
Celebrate.
Yeah.
Do you do Roza the day after Ramadan? On Eid day, we can't keep a Roza.
You celebrate?
Celebrate what?
The end of Ramadan.
But like you're in Ramadan.
Eid. The start of Eid.
What could we do? This is something Islamically we need to do.
Pray.
And each person in the family, or for each person of the family, needs to be done.
Taravi?
No, I don't know.
Is it?
Is it Hajj?
How do you do Eid Namaz in Ramadan?
Taravi.
Look, the clue was we could do it in Ramadan as well.
Is it Hajj?
Some people have already done it.
Hajj. Because like you
know
need
Ramzan.
No, but you can't do
you
it.
You can get the swab of Hajj, inshallah. Those who are doing itikaf. Yeah, those who do 10-day itikaf in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala accepts the itikaf, then they'll get the swab of 2 Hajj and 2 Umrah. Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah. That's not the topic for today. I did say it's gonna be hard.
Is it about
Taraweeh?
Let's do a deal. If Ali doesn't get it, then he's confirmed with
you. What about Taraweeh?
No. And if he gets it right, then we can call you. No. We're qualified to be a Baba.
I know why they're ignoring me because I'm right.
Still Ali. Okay.
They're ignoring me because I'm right.
What did you say? I don't know what you said.
Taraweeh.
Do you do Taraweeh a day after Ramadan?
I think, I don't know.
That was very, very clever.
I know, I'm so clever.
Okay then, I'll give you another clue.
Alright.
It's some form of charity.
Zakat.
It's not zakat, but it's something important.
Oh yeah, I've heard of it before.
Ali's heard of it before. He's been hearing too many things.
Is it like...
Let's see if he heard the right thing.
No one tell him anything today.
What?
Or tomorrow.
Oh no.
Because then he's going to be too clever in this. And then he's just going to
say... That's good. If everyone tells him one thing each, then he'll become clever. That's good.
No, then he's going to say all the answers. He won't give us a chance.
SubhanAllah. Anyway, today we've got a very important topic. We're getting off track, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're getting off track. Should we get back on track?
Yeah.
Let's get back to business now.
Let's go back to the segment,
Did You Know? Today we have a very important topic. We are going to talk about what is... Sadaqatul Fitr. Some people call it.
I heard it before.
Ali's heard it before as well. Has anyone else heard it before? No one has heard it before. Yeah. Sadaqatul Fitr. Commonly people say Fitrana. Yeah, what does that mean? This is form of Sadaqah. It's form of a charity. And how important it is. Why do people give this Sadaqah? Why do people give this certain amount in the way of Allah Ta'ala? They call it Sadaqah Fitr. Yeah, what is this? Let's talk about this today, inshallah. Our beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has ordered a person to make the announcement in the whole city of Makkah that Sadaqatul Fitr is wajib. So our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ordered someone to go and make an announcement. Remember, there was no social media at that time. There was no loudspeakers at that time. So, to get the message across to the community, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to instruct someone and he used to go around the city, he used to go to different streets, he used to go to different places and tell people what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told a person to make the announcement, go around the city and tell people, let everyone know that Sadaqatul Fitr is
wajib.
It is wajib. What does that mean? It is important. It is necessary. We have to give this Sadaqatul Fitr. We need to give this Sadaqah. Yeah, we have to give this Fitrana.
What if you do not have the money?
Yeah. Let me explain to you first. Well, the importance first, then I'm going to let you come to it, okay?
Okay.
So now, that's one thing to keep, one thing we've learned so far. So giving Sadaqatul Fitr, the Fitrana, it is wajib. It's important. Next thing. Our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has declared that Sadaqatul Fitr is wajib so that it would cleanse our fasts from useless and immoral speech and that it would provide the poor with food. So in this narration we learn, Ali, in this narration we learn why we need to give Sadaqatul Fitr. Now, why do we need to give it? There's two reasons that have been mentioned. Yeah, listen to me. Two things have been mentioned. Why we should give Sadaqah Fitr. When you give this Sadaqah, when you give this charity, then one benefit of this is that it will clean our fast. The roza we've been keeping in the month of Ramadan. In the fast of Ramadan, sometimes we make mistakes, don't we?
Yeah.
The wrong things that we do, we make mistakes. We say so many things we shouldn't be saying. Yeah. So one benefit is that it will clean our fast, yeah, from useless and immoral speech. The bad things that we've been saying, the wrong things, the times wasting things we've been saying. So we've been disrespecting the fast. So all that will be cleansed. Yeah. So it'll be washed away. So our fast will become pure. Yeah. Second reason is that because you're giving charity, you need to give it to who? You don't give it to rich people.
You're giving it to people.
Do you give it to rich people?
No.
Do you give charity to big businessmen?
No.
Who do you give it to?
The people in need.
The people in need. You give the poor and needy people. So Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, give Sadaqatul Fitr so that this will provide for the poor with food. So poor people can have good food, especially at Eid time.
What if you are poor?
What if you are poor?
Then you can't do anything.
We'll come to that inshallah.
What if you don't have
enough food? That's the first one Ali asked as well. Let me share with you another narration now. Now look, this is important. Look, when we keep a roza, why do we keep a roza?
To feel for the poor.
Not as well, but there's one main reason we want. What do we want? Once we keep a roza, what do we want from it?
Swab.
Something
rewards.
It's something to do with that, but why do we want swab? Why will you get swab if it's
clean?
If it's
acceptable.
Accepted. If you're fast, remember fasting is worship.
Yeah.
So if your worship of fasting is accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala, that's what we want. Why do we keep a roza? Why do we fast in the month of Ramadan? Why do we bear all the hunger and thirst? Because we do it for Allah Ta'ala. We need to worship Allah Ta'ala. It's a form of worshipping our Rabb. by following His commands. And at the end of it, what do we want? We want that to be accepted. We want Allah Ta'ala to accept this. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, man's fast remains suspended. It remains hanging. Where does it remain hanging? Between the earth and the sky. So his amal, his fasting, the action of fasting, and it goes up in the sky, it remains hanging. Yeah, between the earth and the sky, unless sadaqatul fitr is paid. Yeah, then it goes high and then it's accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So from here we learn that when Muslims give sadaqatul fitr, it cleanses the mistakes that we've been doing, the useless things that we've been saying during Ramadan, during the fasting, and also it provides for the poor people. And the third reason we've learned is that if you give sadaqatul fitr, then inshallah this will help us it will help for the fasting to be accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Okay, so these are the few reasons why we should give sadaqatul fitr. Next question is, who needs to give sadaqatul fitr? Now this has a lot of detail. I'm going to give you a pointer now, especially if there's adults watching this program. I'm going to give you a pointer. If you want to know more detail about sadaqatul fitr, there's a lot of points mentioned here. I'm reading from page 265 of Blessings of Ramadan. There's a beautiful book, masterpiece by Dawood Islami, Blessings of Ramadan, page 265, and he has a lot of points regarding sadaqatul fitr. So many points have been mentioned. Well, because it's a kids program, just mentioned a few of them. So one thing we need to keep in mind, who needs to pay sadaqatul fitr? Who needs to give this money in charity? Who has to pay? Let's look at the ruling now. So paying sadaqatul fitr, paying this sadaqatul fitr is wajib for every such Muslim man and woman who is sahib-e-nisab. I'm going to explain to you in a bit. So whoever is sahib-e-nisab, provided that the bare necessities of life are excluded from their nisab, from their possessions, from their wealth. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Someone, let's try to make it easy for the kids. Sadaqatul fitr, giving this charity, the sadaqa fitr, is wajib for every Muslim man and woman upon whom, who meets the requirements, who fulfills the criteria of being the sahib-e-nisab. That means he's got a lot of wealth, a lot of money he's able to give. These things he has other than his necessity of life. What does that mean? So for someone to be sahib-e-nisab, someone to fulfill the criteria of the one who needs to give sadaqah, fitr or zakat, who is that person? The one who possesses, after so much gold, the 7.5 tola of gold, or 52.5 tola of silver, or the money or goods equivalent to 52.5 tola of silver, excluding the bare necessities. In a nutshell, just to make it easy for the kids, generally, we should try to give sadaqah fitr. If it's wajib for you, then obviously you're fulfilling your obligation. But if it's not wajib for you, then you should. Then if someone still gives the money in charity, you'll get thawab, you'll get the blessings. So what we should do is recommended in the whole family, we should give sadaqah fitr on behalf of every person. The adults, they're responsible to give it on their own behalf. If they're children, then the parents, especially the father, needs to give it on their behalf. Now, for each person, we need to give how much? We need to give sadaqah fitr. We need to give
sadaqah
fitr. And the question is, how much is sadaqah fitr?
They calculate it.
Then you calculate the zakat, and there's a ruling regarding sadaqah fitr as well. And I'm going to give you an example. Well, the recommended figure for sadaqah fitr, you can give sadaqah fitr according to different things. In the hadith, in the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn that you can give sadaqah fitr according to different items of food. Okay, there are four items that we mentioned. If you can give sadaqah fitr according to wheat, according to barley, it's also a form of like a thing that we eat. Okay, like you know, roti we eat. It's a type
can
of
I
roti.
Guess one of them?
Ji?
Can I guess one of them?
Yeah.
Flour.
Flour, that's the wheat.
Or eggs.
No. It's barley and it's raisins.
Oh.
The sahui, the raisins, kishmish, and its dates.
I was thinking dates.
Dates, yeah. So you can give sadaqah fitr according to any of them. Yeah, and there's a certain scale that's been mentioned. That if you need to give, like, how much wheat you need to give, the price of that much wheat. Yeah. Now, someone who has the wealth, who can give, yeah, don't just look at the minimum number. Try to give the highest number. You could choose any of them. The sadaqah fitr will be, will be counted, will be valid. But try to give more. This year, seriously, try to give those who can, try to give sadaqah fitr according to the dates. If you have that wealth, if you have the money, if you have the means, this year, encourage your parents to give sadaqah according to the dates. And inshallah, you'll have so much reward and blessings. So now we've learned something really interesting today. Some of you probably heard the term first time sadaqah tul fitr. Yeah, we give this. Well, normally you give it, and people give it at the beginning before going to eat the mass. But if someone gets late, you can give it afterwards as well. So please give your sadaqah fitr. Give this in the way of Allah Ta'ala. Give it in charity. A lot of centers, a lot of masajid, they collect sadaqah fitr as well. And they give to the places where they need to give. Alhamdulillah. Dawat Islami, they also collects Sadaqatul Fitr as well. If you wish to give your Sadaqah to Dawat Islami, please reach out to local Dawat Islami centers. So please do contribute and help the works of Dawat Islami through your Sadaqatul Fitr. Don't be greedy, don't be stingy. Give selfish. In the way of Allah Ta'ala, and I've shared with you the greatness and importance of giving Sadaqatul Fitr. Now it's time for us to move on to our next segment. Who's ready for the next segment?
Is Islamic Heroes.
It is Islamic Heroes.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Welcome to our segment, Islamic Heroes. In this segment, we select a great personality of Islam and we try to learn some beautiful facts from his from the blessed life. Today we have another personality we are going to talk about, and I'm going to have a guess that these kids won't be able to get it right. I have so much confidence in you, don't I? Come on then. Today we are going to talk about one of the blessed uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyidina Umar
radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They are the second caliph of Islam. Today, who are we going to talk about? Let's look at the screen. We are going to talk about Sayyidina Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Sayyidina Abbas is one of the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Are you hearing this for the first time?
Yeah.
Now who's hearing this first time? Yeah, so mashallah, you learned something today. Mm-hmm. So now it's from our segment, Islamic Heroes. We've learned about one of the relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now let's talk about some facts about from the life of Sayyidina Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the uncles of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam who accepted Islam. And he is known as Abul Fadl. Yeah, Abul Fadl Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. And when was Sayyidina Abbas born? Have you heard this incident called the incident of the elephant?
No, I've heard it.
Have you heard it? There's a surah in the Quran called Suratul Fil. So it's like an incident when a king, I think it was Abraha, he was coming to the city of Makkah, and astaghfirullah, he wanted to destroy the Kaaba.
Can I say something?
We don't want to talk about the story, but I want to tell you that Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born even before that incident. So that was called Amul Fil, the year of the elephant, the incident of elephant. So before the incident of elephants. So Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born long time ago, before the actual incident. And although Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam before this historical battle, the first ever battle of Muslims took part in, the Battle of Badr. So Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, although he accepted Islam before that incident, however, he kept his Islam hidden. kept it hidden at that time. As a coincidence, in that Battle of Badr, he also came, he was part of the army of the enemies. Because he's from Makkah, openly people don't know he's a Muslim.
Yeah.
And he was actually in that army, he was an army of enemies. And he was a very wealthy person. He had a lot of wealth with him. And he was given different roles, especially giving food to people. You know, there were like 1,000 people, remember, in the army, yeah? And Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was, they were given like turns, whose turn it is to feed people. Yeah, the rich people were given the roles, they're going to feed everyone. They were given roles. And his turn didn't come yet. Yeah. So Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was actually part of the forces of enemy in the Battle of Badr. And however, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam announced and told the Sahaba, nobody should harm Sayyidina Abbas. Yeah, people, Sahaba, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam made people aware, made the Sahaba aware, don't harm him. And why don't harm him? Because he's in pressure. Why is he hiding in Islam? Because of the family pressure and the people's pressure. Yeah, he hid his Islam. Well, he, inside, he's accepted Islam yet. He's not told everyone. Why is he in the people on the side of enemies? Because of the pressure. So Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam made people aware that don't harm him. And because he's under the pressure, and in this battle, what happened? Some people, they got captured. You know, in battle, when people, when you overcome the other side, you capture them.
Yeah.
You capture the enemies. So Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was actually one of the captive. He was caught by the Muslims. And later on, he was freed by paying the ransom. So they have to say, you have to pay so much, then you get freed. So he had to pay so much, and he got freed. There's a whole incident regarding this. Now, Sahaba Ikram, the companions, they acknowledged and appreciated the excellence of Sayyidina Abbas. They had so much respect and love for Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the very wise and intelligent people. And the Sahaba Ikram, they would consult him. They would ask his advice on important matters. When they are stuck, when they need help, they will go and consult him. They'll ask him for help. And Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu lived 88 years. How many years?
88 years.
And his funeral, his janazah, was led by the third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And his burial place, his resting place, is in Jannatul Baqi. It's in Jannatul
Baqi.
So let's discuss a few of the facts here. So how old was Sayyidina Abbas?
88 years.
And who led his janazah?
Sayyidina Uthman Ghani.
And who's the third caliph of Islam? Yes, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani. And where is the burial place of Sayyidina Abbas?
In Jannatul Baqi.
MashaAllah. Let me share with you another beautiful fact about Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had many qualities. One of them, he was a businessman. He had a business. And in which things did he do business in? Yeah, he had a business in perfume and clothes.
Yeah.
He was a clothing merchant. He used to sell perfumes. And his reputation was known as, he was a fair businessman. He didn't cheat. He didn't lie. He's a fair businessman. And people knew him. People respected him for his trade, for his business. Once a Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says that I needed to purchase some clothing and perfume from Makkah for my family. So I wanted to buy something. I needed some clothes. I need to buy some perfume for my family. So I went to one of the traders of Makkah. I went to one of the businessmen of Makkah. And which businessman was that? Sayyidina Abbas. So he said, I bought things from Sayyidina Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Once, there's a really interesting incident once it took place. Once some people came in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and they came from a place called Daren. And these people, they presented several gifts in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They came with?
Gifts.
Several gifts in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And in these gifts included silk garment. You know, garment, like the clothing that you wear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So there were silk clothes, adorned with gold. There was silk, material was called silk, and it was adorned, it was decorated with gold jewelry. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he received those gifts from these people, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave all this as a gift to his beloved uncle, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, do you know what he replied?
What?
He said, what will I do with this? What will I do with this? And you think, yeah, what do you mean? You got so many expensive things. You got gold. You got silk clothes with so much gold on them. You say, what am I going to do with this? Yeah? Then when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will I do with this? Why was he asking this question? What do you think? There's a reason behind this.
Is it because he already has a business?
No. There's another reason. Have a guess. Something that men shouldn't have.
Yeah, it's gold. Because you shouldn't have gold.
Men shouldn't be having gold. Yeah, you know, as a jewelry, to wear something, especially like a clothing. Men are not allowed, it's forbidden for men to wear clothes or jewelry with gold, of gold. It's not allowed. Yeah. So now, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, what am I going to do with this? Yeah. And silk as well. Muslim men are not allowed to
wear
clothing of silk as well. Okay, both are not allowed. Now, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, why do I need this? Men are not allowed to wear silk and have gold. Yeah, they can't wear gold jewelry. So Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, look, take these clothes, take out the gold from this, and use that gold to make jewelry for your woman, for your family. You can take the gold, separate the gold and give it to your family. And then, now you got silk clothes left now. Now use them clothes, sell it, and whatever, you know, money you earn from that, then you can have that money. Yeah. So like this, you know, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he took the clothing, the silk clothes with gold, then he sold these clothes to a Jewish man for 8,000 dirhams. That was the currency. That was a lot of money. Yeah. So subhanAllah, this is one example of Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, how they used to be detached from the worldly things. He didn't want them. Yeah. But subhanAllah, at the same time, that shows how just he was, how fair he was. If it's a businessman today, if it's a businessman, he's getting gold. If he gets a small opportunity to get hold of gold, what will he do?
Sell it.
He'll jump at it. He'll grab it. He wants more money. He wants to become a bigger businessman. But subhanAllah, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a businessman, but he was a just person. He was a person who was honest. He was a fair individual. He didn't want things which are not allowed in Islam. That was the reason why he didn't like initially to have the silk, and he didn't want the gold with him. Yeah, but then when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala gave him the idea how he could use that in the halal way, he took it then. And Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's one of those sahaba who was so generous. He used to give so much in the way of Allah ta'ala. And one of the things which is so hard to do in those days, remember that was a time where people used to be made slaves.
Yeah.
They used to be made slaves. I'll come back to you. People were made slaves, and it was a big honor to free the slave. How would people free the slave?
By helping.
To buy the slave from the owner, and then buy him, then free him. Make him that you can be a free man now, you can do whatever he wants. And buying the slave, it was an easy thing.
It was expensive.
Yeah. And Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanAllah, do you know how many slaves he freed?
2,000.
70 slaves. Oh. 70, that's not a small number as well.
Yeah.
70 slaves Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu freed. And not just this, that's just one example of him donating and giving his generosity. It's one of the signs of his generosity. Let me give you the example. It's not, you know, when people, if you look at life, people love their homes. People love their home. Everyone should love their home.
Yeah.
But some people, you know, when they don't like to give their own possession or, you know, plots or building to anyone else, it's a bit hard for people to give. But Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he donated his own house for the expansion of Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. So his house was near the Masjid Sharif. When the Masjid was about to be expanded to make it big, and his house came in the way, and Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, happily he gave his house as part of the Masjid. That shows his generosity. his kind heart. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to show this generosity, give in the way of Allah Ta'ala. Try to give as much sadaqah as you can. We have two more segments left.
So
before we move to our next segment, you got your hand up for a while.
You know when you sold the silk, isn't that bad because you're selling something that's forbidden in Islam and you're making other people wear it?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. Remember, wearing silk for a man, it's haram.
But he could have done it
for a woman, it's okay. Yeah. And to sell silk, to sell the clothes which are made of silk, it's not, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh.
But it's okay.
Because I thought you...
And he sold it, and then whoever bought it, he could use it for the family. Here it's not mentioned that he sold it for a man. Sold it as a business. So clothes, you can sell clothes. For example, a man needs to wear men clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A boy and a man needs to wear boys' clothes. This is the dignity of a human being, of a man. And ladies, they have ladies' clothes. Yeah. So a man can sell ladies' clothes. You know, these different clothing they do it for Eid. Yeah, and ladies, you know, if there's any business, ladies, for example, you know, if they have it in their meet the criteria of selling in the business, they do the right way, they can sell, you know, boys' heat clothes. Yeah, so nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Today, Ali's very quiet. He doesn't have that much questions.
Well, I think you can play. We have had a word with Ali before. Yeah. Well, Ali, mashallah, though, today he's doing really good. Today he's done really good, Masha. He's been a brave boy. But he's still confusing me though. I still don't know why. I'm not settled. But sometimes I feel like saying that he is baby.
No, he's like a
baby. But sometimes he's Baba and he's not agreeing with me.
He's
I think we'll have to settle on the
Eid. Are you Baba Ali?
We're going to settle on Eid meal.
Wait, are you Baba Ali?
No.
I think he's Ali.
Baba. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala bless all these kids, mashallah. We're just having a bit of fun here, trying to bring smiles on the faces. Come on, Ali. Are you faking the smile for? Can you not put a real smile? Yes. Mashallah. Subhanallah. Ali, when you smile, you look so wonderful. May Allah ta'ala keep you smiling all the time. Inshallah. Now I think it's time for us to move on to our next segment. What is it called, boys? Do you know the name? What's our next segment?
Sunnah and manners.
No, show your talent.
Show your talent. We're not doing that at the moment. We're going to go straight to
Sunnah
and manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Sunnah and Manners. Today we will be talking about a very important topic. Something that Allah Ta'ala has made us for. Something we do as human beings. In a way we can't live without it. There's so many things we can't live without it. But it's not food. It's not clothing. It's something to do with... I might say the word. I'm trying to hold myself back here.
Why is this talking?
What could it be? There's something that is like a part of a human's life. It's not eating, it's not clothing. It's like when you meet people and talk to people, there's something you do.
Do you have to do it every day?
Meeting people. Today we're going to talk about meeting. Meeting
people. I just said that.
Sunnah and manners of meeting people.
I said greeting.
Look, we meet people every day, don't we?
Same thing,
yeah. Yeah? Every single day we meet people. Where do we meet people? I'll give examples.
In your house, your mum and dad. Yeah. When you're getting picked up from school. When you go to school. Mm-hmm. When you
In school.
At the end of Mefils, Gafila. Because of Jamaat.
Jamaat, when you Namaz, you meet people. When you go town, you see people.
Yeah, when you go out. You go to a program.
You meet people every day.
Like we're meeting somebody right now.
Like, say again?
I'm meeting you right now.
Yeah, we're meeting. This is the type of meeting as well. We're meeting. That's part of our life. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala has made us to be a social creature. We are a creature, aren't we? You're a creature.
No.
I'm a human.
Yeah. A human is a creature.
Yeah, mammals.
Okay.
Are you a creature?
Mammals are animals.
You're human.
Yeah.
Okay. So Allah Ta'ala has created us a being that meets people, that socializes with people, that talks to people, that connects with people. So there are manners and rules about meeting people. So let's discuss some of the manners we need to keep in mind to meet people. When you meet people, whenever you meet someone, you should meet in such a way that that person remembers your meeting. I'll give you an example. You meet some people, you might not see that person again. You only meet some people, you only meet them once in your life. And now how you meet that person remembers. If you were lazy, if you were drowsy, if you were rude, how did you meet that person? Did you have a smile on your face? Were you excited? Did you have the energy when you meet someone? Were you focused when you were meeting someone? Were you looking at someone else? Example, I'm talking to Aban, but I'm looking at Ali. That's rude. Yeah? I'm talking to Norman and I'm looking at Aban. Yeah? How are you, Norman? Are you okay? I'm not looking at him. This is rude. I need to look at the right person. Yeah? So, you see, these are a few manners you have to keep in mind. So when you meet someone, Muslim way of meeting another Muslim is?
As-salamu
alaykum. Give salam. As-salamu qabla al-kalam. Yeah, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala has ordered us to give salam first. And when he gives salam, salam is with your mouth. Okay, when you shake hands, shaking hands is a separate sunnah.
Yeah.
Okay? Saying the salam, and then shaking hands. Some people shake hands first, then they give salam. So try to give salam first if you can. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Give a full salam. And then shake hands with the person. When you shake hands with someone, say you got a book in your hand. So when you got a book in your hand, when you want to give a salam, what do you do?
What do people do with their hand? Salam.
Yeah. They pray under their elbow and they give salam.
Yeah. That's what I do.
You put the book on the side somewhere. Whatever you have, if you got a phone, put your phone in your pocket. If you got a towel, whatever it is, put them to the side. Empty your hands, free your hands, and give a salam with some vibe, with some power, with some energy. Yeah, with love. Yeah, this is how you, and that means you're giving attention to that person. And whoever you give salam to, talk to that person. Give attention to that person. When you're talking to people, you need to be a good listener as well.
Okay.
Okay, it's good to talk. But it's not good to talk over someone else. Like I'm talking, some people were talking over me. Yeah? So when you talk to someone, if someone is speaking, you should
not talk over them.
Listen. Yeah, if someone is talking, let them finish what they are talking about. Let them finish. If you got something interesting to make a comment on, then wait, hold that thing in your mind for a bit. Don't just say it. Wait for the right moment. And maybe what you got in your mind is what to say anyway. And it happens loads of times, yeah? But when someone is talking, they're about to tell you further what you want to know. Any question that comes to your mind, then maybe that it's going to get answered in 1 or 2 minutes. Wait for a bit.
Yeah.
Have patience. Respect each other. Don't raise your voice when you talk to someone else. So meeting someone is such a way that person remembers you. Obviously in a good way. Wow, this brother, mashallah, he gave so much love. That smile he gave is next level. You want them to remember that.
Please keep that in mind, inshallah, to meet people. Now meet in such a way, respectful way, listen to people, now talk to people, give them the way of God. Please come forward, please take a seat.
Give love, give respect to each other. We are Muslims. Muslims have the best of character. Now we're going to move on to the final segment. And we're going to deal with a harmful habit.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Harmful Habits. Some people here in the studio, they got harmful habit, haven't they? They're itching, they can't stay in one place. Right, what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to give you the first letter, H. It's a bad habit some people have.
Is it harmful something?
No, that's the word. That's the thing.
Hate.
It's, yeah.
helping people.
You said it.
Hate. Oh,
hatred and malice. Hatred. And malice.
What malice? Just hate.
Hatred and malice. Some people, They just find small excuses to hate each other. Why do people hate each other? Give me an example.
They can be jealous.
Yeah. And hatred leads
to jealousy.
Yeah. Or jealousy leads to hatred. Yeah. So, for example, someone has got really nice Eid clothes. He's got proper nice Eid clothes, so nice. They look so flashy. And when you look at them, you start hating that person. What's his fault? His parents bought him these clothes. He's got really nice clothes. Why do you need to hate him? Yeah, people start hating that person because he's got really good clothes. Why?
That's jealousy.
That's jealousy. That's having hatred for each other. Islam does not allow us to have hatred for each other. Muslims cannot hate each other. You can't. They're noble terms. You know, whatever happens, you need to make sure you have a good relationship. Yeah. Something happens. You know, when someone does anything that you don't like, you start hating him. Yeah. For example, someone turned up late. Yeah. Oh, he always turns up late. I don't like him. What's this? It's a joke. That's what it is. It's a joke. Yeah. Islam doesn't tell us to cut off relations. We need to maintain a relationship. Don't look for excuses. Even something sad happens, something really bad. Remember, even 3 days, if you don't talk to someone, after that, you have to talk to that person. You have to make up. And the question is, if you're going to talk, after 3 days, you have to make up anyway. Why not talk to each other for 3 days? Yeah? Just have a mindset, whatever happens, I'm not going to have hate. Don't have hate for each other. Instead of that, be happy for that person. Yeah, have best wishes for each other. And if you, in your heart, if you got anyone who you don't like, I want to request you something. I want you to do dua for that person. It's going to be hard, but I want you to do dua for that person regularly until you make friends again. Make a regular dua for that person. Do dua, Ya Allah, please forgive him. Ya Allah, bless him, happiness in both worlds. Do special dua for him every day until you make friends with him.
And it is hard.
This is something that you could do. Yeah, this will, inshallah, now that hate that you have in your heart, slowly, slowly, it's going to melt down, inshallah. Now, we are in our final minute of the program. We had a very, mashallah, productive day today. And, mashallah, we learned so many things. And we give the answer of the day. The answer of the day is?
200.
Let's look at the screen. The answer is? 5 verses. Suratul Qadr has 5 ayat in it. MashaAllah. Well done to all of you who got the answer correct. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. Keep you well. InshaAllah, we'll be back again. So before we go, can we all look at the screen and say, I love Islam? Let's look at the screen. Let's look at the screen now, the main screen. We're going to say, I love Islam. Show me your energy. 1, 2, 3. And all the kids who are watching as well, can you all raise the slogan and say, I love Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.